sent down. Translation. Understanding King Agnidra's desire, the first and most powerful created being of this universe, Lord Brahma, selected the best of the dancing girls in his assembly, whose name was Purvachiti, and sent her to the king. Purport. In this verse, the words Bhagavan Adi Purusha are significant. Bhagavan Adi Purusha is Lord Krishna. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Lord Krishna is the original person. In Bhagavad Gita, he is also addressed by Arjuna as Purusham Adyam, the original person, and he is called Bhagavan. In this verse, however, we see that Lord Brahma is described as Bhagavan Adi Purushaha. The reason he is called Bhagavan is that he fully represents the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is the firstborn creature in this universe. Lord Brahma could understand Maharaj Agnitra's desire because he is as powerful as Lord Vishnu. As Lord Vishnu, situated as Paramatma, can understand the desire of the living entity, so Lord Brahma can also understand the living entity's desire. For Vishnu, as a via medium, informs him. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.1, Tena Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. Lord Vishnu informs Lord Brahma of everything from within his heart. Because Maharaj Agnitra specifically worshipped Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma was pleased and he sent Purvachiti, the Apsara, to satisfy him. Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Simade Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation. Understanding King Agnitra's desire, the first and most powerful created being of this universe, Lord Brahma, selected the best of the dancing girls and his assembly, whose name was Purvachiti, and sent her to the king. I'm sorry, we have a slow start this morning, but it will soon start. Yes. So, Maharaj Agnidra here has a desire which is perfectly normal for all those who have a material body. There are a few necessities which come when we accept a material body. We have to eat, we have to sleep, we are full of fear, and therefore defend ourselves, and we have a strong desire to enjoy the opposite sex. These are the four prime necessity of every living entity. They are ruling over the soul since the time the soul has a material, has adopted one of the 8,400,000 forms of life or bodies in this material world. So Maharaj Agnidra here desires to be united with a beautiful woman, and you will hear how she brings him under her control with an extraordinary heavenly charm and beauty. Now, Lord King Agnidra approaches specifically Lord Brahma for fulfillment of this desire. The day before yesterday, a young man, very good looking, successful, obviously, in his life, came to me after a program and said, I have understood that by adopting certain powers and taking help of different devatas, I can quicker fulfill my material desires. I don't want to waste time before I get a result. So not long ago, someone recommended me to worship Ganesh for material success. But it only worked a little bit. Now I come to you. We have heard your lecture and seen that you are knowing about the Vedic scripture. And I have a very specific desire. I want material happiness now, and I want it fast. Tell me what to do. He was very intense somehow. And I said, I will answer your question in one sentence. So, because you want to have everything fast and quick. When you approach those who are devotees of Krishna, they have mercy of you, for you, and will not give you the pot of poison, even though you asked for it. I'm sorry, I can't answer in a different way. So his face went like whoop down, and he wanted to argue, but the answer was clear, almost as clear as you can say it, and he left totally confused, shaken. This is tradition. This is the way the Vaishnava answers. The Lord will never, ever fulfill those desires which implicate a living entity more and more in material entanglement. In a similar way, the devotees of Krishna will never do anything or give a blessing which will entangle the eternal living entity again and again and again. Srila Prabhupada, he said in one lecture, that a devotee must practice the art of renunciation. May I just know, our children are very, very dynamic this morning. This is very nice, and very, we are very glad from the temple community to see your nice children so much enlivened. However, it may be best for them that we have a playing room for them. Is here a devotee who has something like a it's like a temple commander? Yeah? Yes. Well, you can make nice children plays, like this, and you know, things which are of fascinating quality. So, now in COM, in our COM conferences, we have also one conference, Namhata conference, and there is explained what to do, how to engage children. There are many things, forgot most of them, but anyway, so let us have the children happy in their little world, and let us stay in the world of Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada, he said, talking about this principle of renunciation and not indulgence. Indulgence heißt so viel wie sich, wie etwas einer Sache frönen. He said that renunciation is to see that when we act in this world, we must take care that all our activities are connected with Krishna. That means our eating must be connected with Krishna, our talking, our activities, and much more than this, you can say it in one word, our time must be connected with Sri Krishna. Each second which we waste will not be able to be brought, we will not be able to bring it back. You can therefore see someone who is perfectly, who is advanced in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada was saying this, and I said yesterday, I would talk a little bit about it today. He will be very determined to be akaladvan. That means he does not want to waste time any longer. He wants that everything, including time, is always connected with the Lord in devotional service. See, the material energy always pushes the living entity by six powerful urges to waste his time in material things. It pushes us to eat more than we need, or to collect more than we actually need to maintain our body and our mind in a healthy and peaceful state, and work so hard for this over-collecting of material things, and in this way just waste the time once and for all. Especially this tendency to talk about things not connected with devotional service or with Krishna consciousness steals so much time away. Prajalpa is considered, prajalpa means idle talk, is considered by Raghunath Das Goswami to be a prostitute. For someone who is full with lusty desires, it appears to be very profitable to spend time with a prostitute. But if you look at it from a more objective point of view, it's a great loss, because they are trained to steal money or take money away. And they take also the powerful vitality of a person away. So this prajalpa looks, of course, very attractive. That's why Raghunath Goswami gives this example.
Nonsense talk, have their charm.
One can laugh if it is a good joke and feel closer to each other by this prajalpa. You know, if you laugh at this people together, you immediately become close to each other. It seems to be quite profitable, in other words. However, this takes, steals away time, and more than that, our determination to serve Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, talking prajalpa means you're decreasing your lifetime unnecessarily. That is a fact. So Maharaj Agnira here is obviously not on the yet on the platform of pure devotional service. He has still material desires to fulfill, and because of that, he is he will hear in the Bhagavatam that he will entangle himself more and more and be told. So this is what the Bhagavatam will inform us about. Now the Bhagavatam also informs us about great devotees who, due to past mistakes, are totally implicated or entangled, but who by the Lord's mercy can make a way out of their entanglement. And you will be surprised to hear that today we will hear about the personality who makes the Bhagavatam to what it is. That is the most sublime scripture in this age. Jiva Goswami explains in his commentaries to the Bhagavatam that because of the life of this one personality, the Bhagavatam is glorious. Now, who is this personality? We will not ask Bhakti Vai Baba Maharaj, we will ask the rest of you. It's not an easy question, I can tell you. Is he Maharaj Parikshit, maybe? Because after all, he was the one who put the questions in the beginning to Sukadev so that it became manifest. I know it's a difficult question, and actually it's unfair to ask such a question to a public which is not prepared and had no time to really think deeply about this question. It's Vritrasura. Now you will all be shocked if you hear who Vritrasura is, and you won't immediately understand Jiva Goswami's perspective, but it will become clear in a little while. Vritrasura in his previous life was King Chitraketu, and he incidentally, also einfach wie ein Unfall kam das, committed an offense against Lord Shiva. He was pardoned by Lord Shiva, who was sitting in the assembly of great saints, and was in poverty. His wife was on his lap. So Maharaj Chitraketu should not have thought something is not all right. Because after all, the saints were around, and they were, it was completely all right with them. But he made a slighting remark. So then Shiva was, being on the also a great devotee of Lord Krishna, was not taking that serious. But Parvati became very enraged about this, and she said, "You foolish person, how do you dare to criticize the activity of Lord Shiva, who's sitting here in the assembly of the greatest of saints? How impudent and arrogant of you. Become a demon." So this is how Maharaj Chitraketu took on the body of Vritrasura.
it is described in the Bhagavatam that when he made his appearance, he grew so quick that you could only compare it to arrows being shot in the four directions of the sky, and their expansion, or the way they went off. In other words, his body went like an explosion, and it didn't stop to grow. He became, that's a long story, but to make it very short, he became actually the devoted enemy of the Suras. Suras means those who worship the Lord. It came finally to a great countdown of powers. I'm sure it's not so difficult easy for you to understand this kind of language in German. Es schließlich zu einer Endschlacht gekommen between the Suras led by Indra on one side and Britasura, who combated them all alone on the other side. In this interesting battle, Britasura was so extremely powerful that the earth just shook as he walked, and his power was such that all the astras which were hurled upon him, all the Waffen, die ihm entgegengeschleudert wurden, he just swallowed them as you would swallow some air, maybe some smoke, some cloud, or some fog. And the devatas were totally, they did not think it would be possible for them to finish this demon. In fact, when Indra attacked on Airavata, his celebrated elephant, Virasura just laughingly killed this most powerful of war machines, Airavata, who just was fell back into the distance, bleeding and gnashing his teeth, his broken tusks. Then Vitasura, who all this while, please understand now something of which you have not thought of before, maybe, who all this while was conscious of his life of a devotee, was then becoming very eager to finish his existence. See, although Vitasura was such a powerful foe, such a powerful enemy to the devatas, he always retained in his the consciousness, the memory of Krishna. He was, you can say, the best example of someone who was entangled. He was not entangled by outside influences, you know, like we may be entangled sometimes in, well, if we are grihasthas, we might have some debts to pay because we bought a new car and that we feel that is entangling. Or if we are brahmacharis, we just can't get our lives together. We are so entangled in our own thoughts that it's difficult for us to fix our mind on pure service of Krishna. And if we are matajis, we might be entangled in other circumstances in lives. But Vritasura was really entangled. He had the body of a demon. And he had a mind of a demon to some extent. He fought actually against the devatas. You can only do this if you're really getting, you're really putting your mind into it. However, deep in his heart, he knew he was a devotee. And this becomes very apparent in his prayers at the end of his amazing life, where he prays to Indra and says, "Now please kill me. Get your thunderbolt out. By the force of your thunderbolt, I shall be freed of material bondage and shall give up this body and this world of material desires. Fixing my mind upon the lotus feet of Lord Shankarshan, I shall attain the destination of such great sages as Narada Muni," just as Lord Shankarshan had said. In other words, Vritasura remembered his previous life where he had the darshan of the Lord Shankarshan. He kept this memory, and although he was implicated, but as a verstrickt, to the highest degree, although he even was fighting against those who were, suras who were collected to Krishna, connected to Krishna. He still remembered this identity, and therefore requested Indra to release the thunderbolt and give him an experience, speedy death. And then he says just one prayer, which is so good, that Srila Prabhupada says this gives the sum and substance of devotional life. And these prayers really make the Bhagavatam glorious, and also Vritasuras, because Vritasuras spoke them. They have a special thing. I always am reading these prayers thing. Well, I've also been born in a demon body. My mind is full of lusty desires to enjoy this world to the maximum extent. False ego for a long time has me in his grips, and so on and so forth. But, you know, but there's hope, in other words. Vritasura is giving the example. Aham harita va padaika mula dasana daso bavidhasma bhuya manas maritasu padegunamste grinita vakarma karotu kaya. Oh my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become the servant, that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes, my words always clarify those attributes, and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. Then he says he doesn't want material benefits. Then he says this wonderful, very moving prayer. Please listen. Ajata paksha iva mataran kagha. Kagha means bird of grass. Stanyang yata vatsa tadha shudata. Vatsa means calf. Priyam priyeva yushitang vishana manaravindaksha didrikshate tvam. O lotus eyed Lord, these baby birds that have not yet developed their wings always look for their mother to return and feed them. As small calves tied with the ropes wait anxiously the time of milking, and they will be allowed to drink the milk of their mothers, or as a morose wife whose husband is away from home always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. O Lord, I'm wandering throughout this material world as a result of my fruitive activities. Therefore, I simply seek friendship in the association of your pious and enlightened devotees. My attachment to my body, wife, children, and home is continuing by the spell of your external energy, but I wish to be attached to them no longer. Let my mind, my consciousness, and everything I have be attached to you constantly. Only you. This is the prayers of Vritasura. If you want to read about this most amazing incident, you can find it, the whole story, in the sixth canto, chapter 9, it must be. Onwards from chapter 9, then just go into the matter of amazement. The Bhagavata is glorious because of this story. Because, why, this story is very much our own. We once were together with Krishna. We were Krishna Das, but we became Maya Das. And consequently have served material desires one after another, until finally, by the mercy of the pure devotee, we are assembled here in this movement for Krishna consciousness. So this, in this wonderful movement, you have to learn one thing which will help us to make this life a full success. You have to learn to renounce everything which is not connected to Krishna. And you have to learn to pray for the mercy of Krishna constantly. We should feel ourselves weak always. It is not wrong to feel oneself weak and helpless. It is desired. Only those who develop this humility in Krishna consciousness will be the candidates for the Lord's mercy. But we should not stay weak. We can be strong. Yes, even we, Kali Yuglings,
So we are connected to two sources of spiritual vitality. These two sources are explained in the Upanishads as the Lord and his pure devotee, the spiritual master. By drawing from these two sources of spiritual vitality, it will be easy for us, although it sets so many frailties, also Schwächen ausgestattet sind, to engage in devotional service, all this. So, Krishna consciousness is such a wonderful thing, and it offers us great opportunity for advancement in our life. I want to stop here because I think we have discussed a lot at once. So I want to ask you if you have any questions regarding these points. Yes, yes, Maharaj.
I know sometimes we distinguish between Sarva Krishna and the main service of Krishna.
Yeah.
The dependent on that service of Krishna. And it's this home. And that's the point of the membership of Krishna, the Nikita Zayas, the self of Lord. But we have a dynamic service of Krishna. So, my question is, how do you see the difference between the dependent service and the dynamic
service? Yeah. This is a very, question which only a very advanced devotee can put. I will try to answer it. I hope it will be satisfying. But the Vaivara Maharaj asks that there seems to be a difference between rendering service and just in general and rendering direct devotional service. What is this difference? In the nectar of devotion, it is described that the only prize to enter into the Lord's company again is eagerness, lala samayi. And in this part, Srila Prabhupada explained that this eagerness means to be actually engaged in some direct service to Krishna. To be installed, so to say, in one's constitutional position. It would be very nice to have the matter of devotion. And let us see if we can get it so far. Mori Manoa, ich glaub's ist nicht da. And it's better to have it in English. Ich weiß ja, was es ist. Nein, es ist ja lebenswürdig von euch. I'm sure that like that is the matter of devotion. Oh, you have an English matter of devotion? And German? Mm-hmm. You have it? Oh. Yeah, do we have it?
Yes.
You know, Ashram Bhakta Gopal is getting it already from my room, so I just thank you very much. So, this direct service refers to one's constitutional position in Krishna consciousness. To get to that, there is a way before us, which is described in the nectar of instruction. Being thirst starts with absorbing our minds in the holy name and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Once we absorb our minds in this, we will have a revelation in our heart about our... We will be more and more purified, and then as we become purified, we will be more and more engaged in... we will be more and more attracted to one eternal servitor of Krishna, whose service just spontaneously fulfills us with amazement. We want to also, in other words, do service to Krishna in that way. We may hear about some associates of the Lord who have very specific services to Krishna, extremely specific services. If you read the Goswami literature, I mean, there is description how they make ornaments, for instance, how they make just a special flower shoe for Krishna. Shoe just made of flowers. And others are expert in preparing pickles for Krishna, just in a very special way. This is the way he likes it, and it's good for his digestion. And in this way, there are very specific services. as we hear more and more and more, we become attracted to these eternal associates of the Lord who do these services, direct services for the Lord, and then we also do that. So let us hear this, because it is a very nice subject, which is also relevant. You will be happy to hear for all stages of devotional service this eagerness. So let us just hear it. I just hope. It's best not to make it later than think about the subject, and then when we find it finally properly, then we will be then finished. We can go on the Lola Sonali. Should be there. Lala Samayi, desiring some perfectional stage. This desiring some perfectional stage in spiritual life is not sense gratification. When one realizes something of his constitutional relationship with the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, he understands his original position and he wants to be reinstated in this position, either as friend, servant, parent, or conjugal lover of Krishna. That is called Lala Samayi, or very eagerly desiring to go to one's natural position. This Lala Samayi stage of submission comes in the stage of perfect liberation, which is technically called Svarupasiddhi, when the living entity understands by perfect spiritual advancement and revelation is our original relationship with the Lord. So on that stage where you feel already attracted to one bridge party, one ragasmika akta, who feels this raga, then you this will come. This submission is transcendental desire, or Lala Samayi Vijnata, in the highest perfectional stage of spiritual realization. In other words, one should learn how to cry for the Lord. One should learn the small technique. And he should be very eager and actually cry to become engaged in some particular type of service. This is called loyam, and such tears are cries for the highest perfection. If one develops this loyam, or excessive eagerness for meeting and serving the Lord in a particular way, that is the cry to enter the kingdom of God. Otherwise, there's no material calculation for the value of the ticket by which one can enter the kingdom of God. The only price for such entrance is this loyam, lava samayi, or desire and great heaven. Do you have any? Now, you might say, well, okay, that is on such a high platform. It's on the platform where my consciousness is purified and where I feel the definite attraction to the Lord. But what's with us here, as a new devotee, so to say, in the material world? Well, Srila Rupa Goswami describes that this principle, of it's also called utkanta, or longing for the Lord, is applicable in all stages of devotional service. And Krishna actually makes arrangements for his devotees to come into this longing platform. Neophyte devotees, when something goes wrong in their service, they become angry at Krishna and their spiritual master. Oh, you rascals, you destroyed our lives. This is what a new devotee's reaction is. But someone who is a little bit more advanced and has already faith in Krishna and the spiritual master, he will say, oh, whew, material life is really tough. I'm so disqualified, everything goes wrong. I will engage, my only shelter is Krishna. He will start longing for Krishna. He will begin to really cry for Krishna. Yes, cry, maybe a little bit more, too intense, but he will pray to Krishna. This will start. My own realization in devotional service, Maharaj, is very low, as you know. It is my life on Krishna consciousness, is I want to make a personal say, well, because you asked that we know each other so well, that since you know I'm not afraid to talk whatever is in my mind. it is like this. I see my life as a constant series of getting bong, flower the head. And that just so that I become humble and really learn to pray to Krishna and look to Krishna Prabhupada. And this is the way Prabhupada also dealt with me. He was always heavy with me. Just heavy and kind. There's two kinds, you know, two kinds. Mm-hmm. So any, yeah, hi Krishna.
Oh, this brings a question in my mind. You mentioned that
Well, again, being a very with an old man, very careful, these questions must be addressed with utmost care and reverence to Shastra. Right? Just let me see. In the concluding words to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada makes a very interesting, gives a very interesting answer to this, and Gopal, you were the best runner of balance, so please run again. That is the second chapter we have. I am volume of dish, of the literature. But let me ask, let me put the question again so that all of you, including the translation back there, hears it. Becoming attracted to a particular servitor of Krishna at this advanced stage of devotional service, is that who will be that servant of Krishna? Is it the spiritual master who will reveal himself to us and then engage us in the service? So there are two kinds of answers to this, which are not in contradiction. I want to start with the Prabhupada answer to this question and then elaborate on it. Kulkapal, this is very langsamer geworden. Am Autobahn vielleicht. So, it is here. Concluding verse. Let's take this instrument. I think that His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, is always seeing my activities and guiding me within my heart by His words. As it said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tena Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye, spiritual inspiration comes from within the heart, wherein the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His Paramatma feature is always sitting at all His devotees and associates. It is to be admitted. So this relationship. So the spiritual master, in other words, is an eternal one. In another passage, and honestly, I was thinking it would be here, but it is not. Prabhupada said, there is no need to try to see Krishna in a bush in Vrindavan. What is required is to follow all the instructions of the spiritual master and becoming determined to serve the mission of the spiritual master is tantamount, he uses this expression, das heißt gleich, with seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the spiritual master will always have an, will be our eternal spiritual master in the spiritual world. He may direct us to a confidential servant of Krishna, who will engage us in our specific relationship. It can be that he, in his wonderful, in his form, in his siddha style, it means, yes, in that form, he engages us directly, he tells us, train like this, for instance, or do a specific service like this, or he might direct us to another spiritual master. An associate, not to another spiritual master, that's wrong. To an said of Krishna. These two possibilities are there. But even then, he will remain our spiritual master.
Always, like in the Brihat Bhagavad. Sleeps, Kumkuma sleeps also. So, it is not mentioned that this, that is a Janani, I think is his name, is a spiritual master who instructed him to reach that divine in the chanting of the mantra. Yes, there are such things. These are good questions. I'm full of such questions for the for our exalted Vaishnavas in the festival. Of course, I know that many of those who know will be shy to speak before the public assembly of devotees in greater detail. To really talk about it. So, anyways, here. The Reihenfolge. First of all, we must know that Krishna is always in Vrindavan. Well, he was first brought to the by Vasudev to Gokula, where Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mayi stayed, and then all the cowherd boys, no cowherd men, who saw how Krishna, even as a little baby, was constantly attacked by demons. Thought this place, there's something wrong with this place, that all these demons come here. And just described that they packed all their belongings on carts. They had even described arrows they had, just to see that no demon would come. And then they were going to the place where our temple is, this Chatikara area or Ramanreti area, and they stayed there for some time. But every day they moved to Nandagram, where they constructed this new home for Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. You know, the palace, the place of residence. Nanda, Baba, Yashoda. And when that was completed, it took them like 3 years or so. I'm not very sure. I vaguely remember this number, but it is too vague to be recorded in the memory. Then they went to Nandagram and stayed there until Akrura came and took Krishna out of Vrindavan.
I read that the mountain near the kings is not about us, and about Krishna is transient. So I need to what.
Krishna can be understood only on the platform of Vishuddha Sattva. The stage is also called Vasudev stage of realization. It's a stage which is beyond the influence of the modes of material nature. Lord Shiva talks about this in the fourth canto, where he says he's always on that Vasudev state of consciousness, where Krishna is revealed to him. Just like Krishna became revealed or manifest, that's the word, to Vasudeva, his father, yes? He became manifested in the mind of him. So someone who is on the Vasudev state of consciousness, therefore the name Vasudev appears, he will see how Krishna becomes manifested in his mind. This will come on the stage of Bhava, where the realization of God begins. To be in the mood of goodness is not a qualification to see Krishna. There you see, as is described in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, all living entities to be equal. Pandita, you know, you don't see any difference. Also, the 4th chapter, it is described as Pandita Samadarshina. Is it in the 4th chapter, actually? I'm not so sure any longer. You know, it's described there, this spiritual vision, where you see all living entities as the same. That means your vision has become spiritualized. You are the absolute black hawk, not the relative any longer. What is considered to be absolute truth? Absolute truth can mean many things. It can mean Brahman, or it can mean Krishna, Bhagavan. But Krishna is even beyond that concept of Bhagavan, the one who is full with 6 opulences. The personal understanding of Krishna is a very rare understanding. Samahatma Sudulabha, only a very rare soul will be able to understand Krishna in his personal feature. So in the absolute truth you may understand to be God. I feel a little restless, getting restless here. Let us be now practical. I will talk now very realistic. Because it flies over your head, isn't it? Yes. Look at you. Look at us. What is our concept of God? If you ask yourself deep inside, how was your realization of God? Well, he gives me prasadam. Have a place to stay. He is sometimes smashing me when I do glue post. Think that. like this. So, but even that is not a good understanding. What I want to aim at is that the understanding in the mode of goodness is not a transcendental understanding. We are not even in the mode of goodness sometimes. We are our service becomes mixed with different modes, even those which we don't want. The mode of goodness, you can't understand Krishna. Even as a devotee, even on our state, we can't, you know, Krishna is still, it's very rare to understand him. On the mode of goodness, depending on what path you either understand Krishna to be Brahman, or you understand him to be Paramatma, or you understand him to be Bhagavan. But this personal understanding of Krishna, who performs these wonderful leelas in Vrindavan, who plays his flute which enchants the whole universe, this Krishna who is always surrounded by loving associates who have the most amazing form of love of Godhead, and this Krishna whose beauty is so enchanting, this comes only on the highest state of Krishna consciousness. It doesn't come when you are just Vedanti Tat, someone who's a sage, who's in the mode of goodness, and who sees either Paramatma, Brahman, or Bhagavan. Yes? So. You have to sometimes think about these answers. Krishna is very special with his four attributes. He is with his four special activities. He's extremely special. But the absolute truth can be realized on the mode of goodness. And it depends on if you are a worshipper of Paramatma, of Brahman, or of Bhagavan. Yes, that's a good conclusion. Gaura Chandra. Gaurachandra asks about Krishna's appearance in Vrindavan. He saw footprints of Krishna, which were not the size of someone who is 3 to 4 meters high. But it says that Krishna, those persons living at that time in the earth were 3 to 4 meters high, and the proof of it can be seen in the weapons which are found at the Kurukshetra battlefield, which were so large that the people who wielded them, who used them, had to be that size of 3 to 4 meters. So I was myself asking this question. Well, you will find different footprints of Krishna in Vrindavan. They have different sizes. Some of them are this big. Others are like this, others like this, and so on. The explanation is that on the spiritual dimension where this took place, you can't bring your measuring instruments. So you might ask at this time, well, but then why are measurements given? Why, for instance, it is stated that the spiritual world is 3/4, the material world is 1/4, and the spiritual world is 3/4 of that total existence. That seems to be a very concrete measurement, because the material world is called Maya, and Maya means, one definition of it means that which you can measure. The answer is here, these numbers are there to give some indication to us. You will never be able to understand spiritual reality with the measuring tendency, but because we have it, the Shastras, in order to, so to say, talk in our frame of reverence, damit die bleiben in unserem Gesichtskreis, therefore they give measurements which have to be understood as indications. But there are also these large footprints for Gaurachandra. When you look at, for instance, the footprint which is there in the Radha Damodar temple, oh, it must be like this big, if I remember closely. But then if you look at the Champahati footprint, which is it's in Kamyavan, and it is a footprint which Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Baladev, Vidyabhushana, and many other acharyas in the past have recognized to be a real footprint of Krishna. It's not a speculation. It's much smaller than the one in Radha Damodar, which is also a recognized footprint. So, I mean, this brings us in. There are many questions which you could ask in this direction. How could Krishna, for instance, in one day, or in a few hours, just cover the whole area of Braj with his cows? You took a month to do it, you know. How could he do it? The acharyas give us many interesting descriptions of this, but because I don't want to put too much into this one lecture, I mean, there are descriptions where you will just very difficult to understand Krishna, like our Mataji has just now said. Ja, hoffentlich ist das jetzt mal eine normale Frage. Also normal in dem Sinne mit dem Hier und Jetzt. Yes. Yes. It shows the strength of devotional service, which remains throughout even the birth. He was Chitraketu before and had attained a high state of devotional service, and that always stayed with him, even when he was a demon. And then it also shows the mercy of Krishna, how he just looks at the heart of someone. It is glorious from so many points of view. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How can we take advice from this
It's not mentioned in the Bhagavatam that in that life of Vritasura he surrendered to the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Well, it means like this. We may be in a very fallen condition, but still there's hope if we do devotional service. Devotional service, in other words, is not dependent on the position someone is in. Therefore, Brahma says, Stane stita shruti gatan tanuvan manubir. Stay wherever you are, and just with your body, mind, to begin the process of devotional service. The only requirement what you have to do is to give up mental speculation. Young. That's stated in this verse. It's not a personal comment. Yeah. Good. So I think we have come to a natural end. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.